if you have a belief that you're not lovable, then you might, you're more than likely going to attract people that make you feel that way, because it's not really about them. It's basically your internal, you know, space or environment is being reflected into your external.
Welcome to The Lavenderette Lifestyle, the podcast on personal growth and lifestyle design. My name's Eileen, and I'm here to guide you to shine as your brightest self and create your dream life. We all have a light within and the power to create a life we love. Every Sunday, we'll share thoughtful conversations exploring how we can build a better future for ourselves and our world. Life is an art. Make it your masterpiece. Hello, my loves. Welcome back to the Lavender Lifestyle Podcast. It's Eileen. Hope you've been well. We are now officially back from our break. And this time around, the podcast is going to become a bi-weekly podcast. So if you haven't heard, we're moving to bi-weekly. We're going to post every other Sunday starting today. So the next episode will be in 2 weeks from now instead of 1 week. So this new pace is simply to support all the other things I have going on in my life. And that way we have more time to find quality guests to make this podcast really good and make sure we're not just like rushing through everything, and also ensuring that everything else in Lavenderette is getting enough attention and everything's balanced, or as balanced as could be. But anyway, I'm excited for today's first episode because this is a topic that I believe is so foundational, so important. We're talking all about the journey to self-love. So we'll go over everything from how to heal, release limiting beliefs, set better boundaries, have better relationships, and generally live a happier, freer life through loving yourself. So our special guest today is Julia Roman. Julia Roman is a certified life coach, educator, and content creator. She's the author of 10 Steps to Self-Love, How to Fall in Love with Yourself, and also the Radical Self-Love Workbook. Her Instagram, Julia Spiritual Coaching, is dedicated to raising awareness for self-love and mental health. So throughout this entire episode, I felt like everything Julia talked about, her story and her insights, they're so similar to what I would say about this topic. And so I feel like we're very similar in the way that we think about things. We're on the same wavelength. So I think you'll really enjoy this episode going deep into how we can better love ourselves. Hello, Julia. How are you doing today? Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, hi, Eileen. I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, I'm so excited to get into your story because like I said before this call, I 100% relate to everything that you talk about, just everything that you've been through and everything that you've healed in yourself. I'm like, I can relate. I've been there. So why don't you start by telling us your self-love journey?
Actually started around the pandemic. I really had that time, which I think so many of us did, for that self-reflection and to develop self-awareness. And recognizing that I had a lot of limiting beliefs and old stories that were holding me back. So I ended up working with a coach, and I just kind of went on a personal development journey, very similar to a lot of people during that time. And then at a certain point, I realized that I had done, you know, we're always healing, but a certain amount of healing where I felt that I could also contribute and share my experiences with others. And so much of it was releasing the people pleasing and the need for to be perfect, and also just kind of connecting to the authenticity, which I hadn't before. I was always trying to be what I thought other people wanted me to be rather than being myself. So once I did that, I started my Instagram page, and we just reached 119,000 followers. There's just, it's an amazing community of people from all around the world, especially young women who are really ready to take their power back and to love themselves. And then I started my coaching business around the pandemic, and I wrote a book, 10 Steps to Self-Love, and a workbook, which is the Radical Self-Love Workbook. So doing that work for me, I think it just kind of came full circle, healing and then now being able to help others heal, which is something that I know you do also.
Yeah, I mean, your story is amazing. And it actually sounds like, I know like to me, the pandemic doesn't sound like that long ago. Like it sounds like it happened, but it has been 4 years, right? So you had that time and that space to like reflect. And then through your healing, you realize that you could share everything that you've been learning, right?
Absolutely.
Do you feel that in sharing on, like in starting your Instagram and in sharing online, that's like you were healing as you were doing that? Like posting online helped you heal and learn as well?
Absolutely. I think I got to myself to a certain point where I had the confidence. I don't think I would have been able to before because I would have been worrying about like people's opinions and the judgments. But once I got to that point, definitely, especially with the mental health, I'm very open about as I experience anxiety and panic attacks and what's helped me and my healing journey and connecting with others. So I feel like there is so much power in sharing our stories and recognizing that we're not alone and we have a lot of these common struggles. So it was definitely part of my healing journey as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's also to say like, you don't have to be perfectly healed to start talking about this and sharing about it. Like we're all in the middle of the journey and we're all going through it together. Like there is, right? It's Absolutely. Like, it's never too early or too late to start.
Absolutely. I think there is that kind of that fallacy that we think that.
What would you say was the turning point in your journey? Like, did you have any like aha moments or big breakthroughs that you experienced that kind of like opened your eyes to or opened your mind in some way?
There were so many. I think one of the big things for me, especially as women and as girls, you know, like we think our worth comes from the external. So recognizing that that is just a part of us. It's just such a small piece. It's really about like what's inside. So kind of developing like a connection with my soul, and that it doesn't necessarily have to be any religion. It's kind of having like a spiritual path because that gave my life a sense of meaning and purpose in terms of service to others. And that gave me a sense of fulfillment and meaning that I hadn't had before when I was looking for, okay, I got this degree or I had this job or all of these things or this relationship. I was engaged at one point and it didn't work out. And I think that I thought, oh, well, then that means I have worth because of this and all these things. But recognizing that the worth is inherent and it's internal and no one can take it from you. So that's something that I share with my clients and my followers, because I feel like that's really important in this world.
Yeah, I had the same experience because I can relate to you and how like I think a lot of people are used to putting their worth into things external, like outside of us. And mm-hmm. we're learning how to take that power back. We're learning how to not need anything outside to prove ourselves. We're learning that we don't have to prove ourselves. Like, let's get deeper into this because I think this is very powerful and it's also so relatable. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for people listening, they might be at different points of their journey. So why don't you paint the picture of what it looks like before, like when you're putting your worth on external stuff, like how you were like before, and then how did you make that shift?
I think a lot of it is like neglecting our needs. So trying to make other people happy, putting their needs before us, looking for approval, seeking external validation rather than recognizing that we have that within us and that the right people will love us. So for a long time, especially in terms of like my mental health struggles, I just hid it. And I was like, oh, everything's fine. I acted like I didn't have anything going on or any struggles, but I was really going through a lot. And I was afraid, well, that was going to make me unlovable, kind of the same thing if I'm not perfect. So sharing those experiences with other people and recognizing that we all struggle and we all go through things so that we don't feel like we have to kind of have this mask on. That at a certain point, I took the mask off and I was like, okay, I'm sorry, I don't really feel like going out, or, you know, I'm having a hard day today or whatever, and that the right people were able to support me through it. So that was a big part of my healing journeys.
Like being able to be more honest and authentic, right, with how you feel.
Yes, absolutely. And the self-discovery part is huge. That's actually the first chapter in my book, if you are on a healing journey, because if you don't know where you're going to go if you don't know who you are. So once you can discover that, and mine the gems within you, which is really just all of the virtues and the qualities and the talents and gifts that you have, then you start to feel more confident because you're not getting that from the external, you know, like what the world's telling you, that you have all this stuff within you.
All right, my loves, time for a quick break for today's sponsor, Shopify. One of the things I'm most proud of creating is the Artist of Life workbook and our online shop. And for the past 5 years, we've been proudly hosting our shop on Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business with their all-in-one e-commerce platform. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms. Through Shopify, we've been able to reach customers from all over the world. Their interface is easy to use and they organize data to help you understand how you can grow your business. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US and powers millions of businesses of every size across 175 countries. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TLL, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TLL now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/TLL. Let's also get a little deeper. Something that you say in your story is that you felt unlovable and unworthy. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. Like, what did you find was like at the root of that? And how did you begin to heal from that?
I think so many people think there's just something wrong with them because we're human beings, right? So we are in a sense complete, but in another sense, we're always growing and we're always learning and changing. So it's hard to kind of pinpoint because everyone is so different. But for me, it was a lot of the limiting beliefs, like from childhood, things that I needed to let go and do the inner child healing. And that's something that I talk a lot about. Because once we do that, we can recognize a lot of those beliefs that are not even our own. This is something that, you know, family or friends or society put on us, but they make us feel like we're unlovable because of these messages and maybe how we've interpreted situations, but that's actually not the truth. But for me, it was feeling like, okay, I need to be perfect to be loved rather than I am already lovable. We are all already lovable just as we are. And sometimes, a lot of times too, our imperfections make us more attractive and then they make us real and they connect us with other people rather than just really being two-dimensional.
Yeah. So how did you begin to heal from that? Or how do you teach people to heal from like releasing those limiting beliefs? And you know what I mean? Like, how do you shift that belief?
It's a lot because everyone's so different. It's really going back into, you know, we sometimes with my clients, we'll do meditations or we do questions, answers and exercises and activities to really get deep down. But a lot of times there is that first, you know, or a few first experiences when you're in maybe childhood or you're in middle school, high school, where you're having these experiences that are affecting your self-worth and how you see yourself as an individual. So a lot of it is the inner child healing, shadow work, and writing a new story that you recognize. Like for me, like I was bullied in middle school and that made me feel unlovable. Like, oh, there's something wrong with me, rather than recognizing that was about them. So then I was able to kind of take my power back when I reprogrammed basically my story in my brain. Then it wasn't affecting me in the same way. Because if we don't heal these old stories, then they come into our life as patterns and unhealthy relationships and things like that are just reaffirming those beliefs because our beliefs are going to impact our reality.
Yeah. I think it's so powerful that reprogramming stories. How do you, I guess, rewrite those stories? Do you just like look at it from a new perspective and then you change the story in your mind? Like, tell us the process.
I don't know if we have enough time to do, but I'll try as much as I can.
Yeah, tell us what's in the workbook.
Yeah, so I can get it in a second, but the workbook has different chapters that focus on different things. So like limiting beliefs. So you're doing exercises and activities that bring you back into those times. And that can be part of the reprogramming of your brain. You're looking at it from a different perspective. You're putting a lot of those limiting beliefs on trial, like you're challenging them. You're looking for evidence. Mm-hmm. Is this really true? Am I really unlovable? Yeah. And where did this come from? And then how you can release it. And I think it's just a lot of part of it. It's like growing up and learning that those were just old, you know, misbeliefs or limiting beliefs that are not true anymore, that you can let go of and write a new story.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of healing is just like constantly like digging into the past for those stories that you're like, hey, I believe this my whole life, but it's not really true. Like I can look at it in another way. Absolutely. I just think our memories are so flexible. It's so like not set in stone, right? And most mm-hmm. of the time we're remembering things wrong too. We're remembering it based on like our own bias. So I think that's such a powerful exercises just to really like excavate your mind. Like, is that really true? What is really true?
Yes. And it's our perception. And they say every time we remember a memory, it changes too. So we're constantly like changing the way that we see things. And mm-hmm. a lot of times it is like when we're younger, it's a limited point of view and it's more self-focused. Like what other people are doing is because I deserve this. And recognizing that that's like one of the four agreements of Don Miguel Ruiz is that we are not responsible for how other people treat us. That is actually about them. It has nothing to do with us. So it's don't take anything personally. But we tend to take things personally and think, oh, well, right. I must have done something. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you're a child, you don't have the framework to think about it in like a positive or healthy way. So of course, you're going to misconstrue or misinterpret things. And then as an adult who is like, you know, now you know better and you understand the world a little more, you can go back and be like, you know what, let me just redo some things and rework. Because like those beliefs, they're like a part of you and they shape your entire life. So it's like, you know, why not release those limiting beliefs?
Yes, absolutely. And for someone who's come from a family where there's trauma or anything like that, a lot of times they might've thought that there was something they did rather than recognizing that it actually was their parents, like the things that they had that they hadn't healed from. So it's so important to kind of see you look at the whole picture. And that's part of narrative therapy also, is telling yourself a new story because you're looking at it from all sides.
Yeah. Another thing that a lot of people ask about when you're healing from trauma, rewriting your stories, reprogramming, is how to forgive, right? Because you can control yourself. You can control how you perceive memories in your life. But a lot of people struggle with like forgiving people who hurt them. So what is your advice on that?
I've done a lot of that work. And a lot of times it's hard because you feel like, well, they did something wrong and they need to be held accountable. And I don't want to forget what they did. But if you can forgive, it's actually just a gift to yourself because it sets you free. It's not about whether they deserve the forgiveness or not. And for me, a lot of the things that helped with like forgiving was doing like some of the prompts in my workbook that I ended up sharing, but also like writing letters to people and even doing like kind of guided meditations and visualizations where I'm talking to that person, where if you just put a chair, if you're outside by yourself, you put a chair in front of you and you sit and you have that conversation. You say what you wanted to say to that person and how you felt. And somehow, I don't know, for me, I feel like it kind of helped reprogram my brain, even though I never ended up talking to like these people. Just writing those letters or having those conversations was a way to release them so they weren't holding me back, because otherwise you can be haunted by these memories and things that are not yours to carry anymore. And it's just, it's time really to release it for yourself and for everyone around you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think people don't realize you don't need to actually talk to them in real life. You don't have to, it doesn't have to happen with the actual person. It could just happen within yourself through letters, through meditation or visualization, whatever. But the most important part about forgiveness is that it sets you free.
Yes.
Like if you're able to forgive, it helps you so much more. And that how the other person is doing, it really doesn't matter, right?
No.
It doesn't have that much to do with it. It's all about just your journey.
Absolutely. And that's the closure piece too. Because if you don't heal and you're bringing that baggage from other relationships or experiences, then you unconsciously, you're hurting and you're bleeding on the new person. And they're like, I didn't do anything. So it's almost, I feel like it was a responsibility before we have those, you know, relationships that are serious to do that inner healing work. And especially with attachment styles and all of those things, like understanding who you are and what you bring to the relationship rather than, oh, this person's going to save me or rescue me or fix me. I think that that was something I thought more when I was younger, rather than I have to come into relationship complete and already healed to a certain extent. I mean, it's, you're not ever going to be completely healed, but not where you're really, you have a lot of trauma that you're bringing into the relationship.
Right. Let's talk about relationships. Like, let's talk about why certain people always attract the same toxic or unhealthy relationships. And how can we stop doing that? Like, how can we level up?
Well, that's part of the whole, I think, limiting beliefs aspect. And if you have a belief that you're not lovable, then you might, you're more than likely going to attract people that make you feel that way, because it's not really about them. It's basically your internal, you know, space or environment is being reflected into your external. So however you're feeling about yourself, you're going to be attracting those situations. And this is not to say if someone's like in a, you know, domestic violence situation that they brought that on themselves. It's not so much that, it's just more the patterns and the types of people, the energy that we're attracting. So if we're not valuing ourselves, we're more than likely going to attract someone who's not valuing us and seeing our worth. So doing that kind of the same thing, like the inner child work, a lot of times it starts with like with our parents and like our first relationships or our first experiences. Those beliefs about what we deserve or what we don't deserve can influence what we are bringing into our life. So the more self-love, the more self-worth, self-compassion you have, the more likely you're going to manifest and attract a partner who's in the same energy that you are also.
Yeah, I think a big part is also like knowing your worth, learning how to set good boundaries. Because like if you were not taught that, yes, if you're always a yes person, people pleaser, and also if you feel unlovable, you're going to be the type of person that just like does everything for the other person, gives too much and lets people step over you. And then you don't, you know, those people don't walk away from those types of relationships because they don't believe that they're worthy enough, right? They kind of,
yes,
it's all in your belief about yourself and your worth. And that creates the relationship that you allow. Because if you had like maybe more confidence, more sense of self-worth, then you wouldn't allow it. You would walk away much earlier. So I think that's the issue, absolutely, right? With people that end up in those like toxic relationships, it's recognizing that you're allowing it, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Eileen. I think sometimes as women, it's like if our worth is being put into, oh, we're in a relationship, then if we're not, well, okay, who am I? Like, am I not as lovable? Am I not as valued? I'm not being seen.
Right.
So giving yourself that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I feel like for some women, if your self-worth is low, it's like, it's almost like just being in the relationship, even if it's terrible, is like they're hanging on to it because it's a proof of their worth.
Yeah. And we need to change that narrative that it's okay. That's why I'm always posting about like solo date ideas.
Yeah.
And being happy. I think I was ashamed of being single for so long. And now I'm like, I'm single as a Pringle. Like, I love it. And if the right person comes, great. Beautiful. But I'm not going to lower my standards in the meantime.
Exactly. So. Exactly. I know people out there is probably struggling with something similar. So how do you get to that place of like full confidence in like being single or full confidence in yourself, knowing that you are whole? And then coming to a healthy relationship as two wholes, you know?
Time helps. I mean, I know it, being patient, and that's hard because a lot of times we want something right now. But once you do this like self-development, the self-growth work, you start to get a better understanding of who you are. And then you don't feel like you need someone as much to complete you. It's like, oh, that would be nice. But you know who you are, you know what your values are and your standards are, and that your worth comes from something else. If it's not coming from that, maybe it's coming from, you know, what type of a person you are, what kind of friend you are, or different things like that. So you find other ways to find your value and your worth. And for me, it was recognizing that it's much better to be single than to be in an unhappy or unhealthy relationship. So the more you can kind of, I guess, like do that self-discovery, learn to love yourself and the self-compassion and taking that time to be with yourself, then it's like, oh, I don't need to avoid this. This is not, I'm not lonely. This is my like alone time. And I cherish that.
Right. When you love yourself, like you start to enjoy and really love just being in your own company, right? Like you don't really need anyone else. You're like, I love this. And you can do whatever you want.
Else is just like a bonus. Yes.
Right. That should be how life is.
Definitely. I think it's getting better, but yeah.
It's a journey. Time for another quick break. Support for today's episode comes from One Skin. As the seasons change, give your skin the love it needs to stay healthy, smooth, and hydrated. OneSkin products are powered by the revolutionary OS1 peptide. This proprietary peptide is scientifically proven to target aged cells and reverse the biological age of skin by several years. They have a full line of face and body products to try out, like their OS1 Shield, an SPF that prevents UV-induced aging and repairs cellular aging all at once. I like that their products are fragrance-free and absorb quickly into the skin. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code TLL at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code TLL. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and tell them we sent you. New year, healthier skin. That's OneSkin. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin. Do you have any advice on how to be better at setting healthy boundaries and communicating your needs?
I really feel like we all have a little voice inside of us, or like a little compass, our intuition or our gut, that especially people that are like me, like recovering perfectionists and people pleasers, we just kind of put like on snooze, like, oh, it's fine, it's fine. But the more we can listen to that, then it's going to be easier to set healthy boundaries. So a lot of times for me, it's feeling, kind of checking in with myself. What are my energy levels? How am I doing? And setting those boundaries and saying, okay, well, I'm sorry, I'm not available to do this, or I'm only going to spend this much time on social media, because then I'm going to have more energy to give if I take those breaks and I set those boundaries. So really just listening, I would say, to your gut and your intuition and following that, because it knows what's best for you, not what other people think you should be doing or shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
But it's a process. I think we're always working on boundaries in different ways in different parts of our lives.
Yeah. Like, it starts with being aware of your body, at your energy, how you feel. And then it's like learning to be confident in that. Because I think most people, they are aware that it doesn't feel good, but then they still say yes, right? Like, because they, right? Like, I know I've been there. Like, you don't want to say yes, but you just can't say no. So you end up saying yes. But yes. I think it's developing confidence to say no. It's like confidence in you, and it's being okay with like making someone mad or being okay with someone not liking you. I think that has to, you have to build that self-confidence to be able to set good boundaries.
Yes. And recognizing that you're going to have more to give if you take care of yourself. But if you're running like on empty fumes, you're not going to have as much to give. So sometimes less is more, but then it ends up actually being, especially like, I think one of the most underrated things is just being present with people and listening, because we're always just going, we're in the future, this is happening, or we're in the past, oh, this happened. That's just such a gift to give to people. So I feel like I'm constantly trying to be more mindful in my life, because I feel like that's really so important.
Yeah. Let's talk about your books. Tell us a little bit more of your 10 steps to self-love. Tell us, what are the 10 steps? If you can go over them briefly, like how can we learn to radically love ourselves?
The first one actually I came out with is the Radical Self-Love Workbook. And this is what we were talking a little bit about before, where I try to make, especially since some of this stuff is pretty intense, I tried to make it kind of fun and whimsical. So you're doing like a lot of activities where you're filling things in, and there's exercises where you're doing, there's one that's like a limiting belief deep dive. So you go into your past and then you're going into the future, and then like puzzles and games. So you're kind of almost tricking your brain that I'm not really doing this hard, inert work, but I am, because, you know, your answers come up and then you're like, wow, this is really deep and powerful stuff that it might've been hard to do if you weren't doing it kind of in a fun way. So that one has 12 chapters. And then the book, which is 10 Steps to Self-Love, that came after, just from my experiences coaching. I wanted to share not only my personal story, but also the stories of my clients and the transformations that they went through, because I was just so proud of them for showing up authentically and doing that work, and to just be able to show people and show women that it's possible. If you start on this path and you have this help and support, you can really make anything happen. And so many of their dreams came true just because they decided to show up for themselves. So the 10 steps in order go, and it's for each chapter basically, is self-discovery, which we touched on a little bit, self-awareness, self-acceptance, self-compassion, self-healing, self-worth, self-confidence, self-care, self-growth, and self and others. So they all start, basically it all begins with you, but the end is self and others, which is love the world, because I really wanted to include that. I think that that's kind of a common misconception about self-love, is that it's me, 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 and that would be pretty empty if it was just about you. It's really about that you get your cup to be so overflowed that it spills out into the world around you. And that just gives you more joy and more love into your life. So for me, that is probably my favorite chapter, because it really incorporates all that. And at the end of every chapter, there are activities and things that you can do, like action steps. Because I feel like a lot of times with self-love, it's very out there. Like, oh, self-love, like love yourself. But what are things you can actually do to love yourself? Then you're going to start to see the results.
Yeah, I love that. I feel like we might have like a similar type of brain, because like the way you laid it out and the way, like, I feel like I've talked about all of these topics on my channel as well. And then just the concept of like self-love is like nurturing yourself, but in doing that, you're like creating this, like, I don't know, this love bubble that like overflows, that gives back to the world.
Yes.
And I feel like we have the same beliefs. Absolutely. About that. So it's so funny, because I'm like, I would write something similar if I was to write a book about self-love.
I believe it. It would be amazing, because yeah. I feel like everyone has different perspectives and their own like experiences, but it's kind of the same thing, that actually will help you to fall in love with yourself. It's not just going, those things can be nice, like getting your hair done, getting your nails done, you know, all those things. But it's really about like how you're treating yourself and how you're thinking about other people too, because how we treat other people is a reflection of how we're treating ourselves too.
Yes, yes. Time for another short break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us are unsure of what to do with our lives and how we should be spending our time. Therapy can be a helpful tool in clarifying what truly matters to you and improving the areas that would make the biggest impact. Recently, I've been working with a therapist on navigating all the change that's happening in my life right now and how to move forward, setting a new foundation for myself, my mindset, and my lifestyle. I've shed and healed from the past version of me, and now I get to rebuild something new. If you're considering therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And you can always switch therapists at any time at no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/TLL today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TLL. What is your favorite story? You mentioned you have a lot of client stories that you share in the book. Can you share some like favorites?
Oh gosh, there's so many. But I think probably one of my favorites is actually someone who was a client that I connected with, because I do all of my coaching online, who I ended up becoming friends with in real life too. And because she were in the same state, but her experience was really just a lot of like the childhood trauma and things with her father and things that hadn't been healed. And she didn't really know why she saw herself in a certain way, but it was because of all that was put on her from a young age, that she had to be perfect and she couldn't make mistakes. And she just wanted to hide. And was represented in like kind of in her external reality is that half of her clothes were just really baggy. And she just wanted to, like, she was ashamed of her body. She didn't want attention. But at the same time, she did want attention, because she's like in her early 20s and she wants to meet a guy. She wants to go out with her friends and have fun, but she's so self-conscious and so self-aware, because she's not recognizing that she has everything within herself and she's not loving herself and giving herself that self-compassion. So we did the work, and it wasn't easy, because we were excavating a lot of, you know, old stuff, kind of like cleaning out a closet or cleaning out a cave. But once we did, she just really came on the other side and blossomed. And everything changed. Like her wardrobe changed. She started like feeling more confident in her skin. She went out dancing and she'd meet guys and made new friends. And she just started to believe she was worthy of those things. And then her life changed. And she just started to feel more empowered. And I feel like that's so important as young girls and women to feel like we have everything within us and no one needs to tell us that we're worthy, which we kind of touched on earlier. But yeah, that was just an amazing transformation to be able to be part of.
I love that. When you say that, it kind of gives me this idea that self-love is like a revolution, because, you know, as women, we're constantly being told who to be, what to look like, what our worth is based on everything outside. I don't know, kind of like parents, society, and the media are telling you what deems you as worthy or not worthy. But self-love is us like claiming that power and taking it back and blossoming as our true selves and like not needing everything that everyone else is telling us to do. But it's just us living our best lives. Because if you truly love yourself, then you go and you be who you want to be and nothing's going to stop you. You believe that you deserve all the good things in the world. And that's like so powerful, right?
Yes.
Like an empowered woman is like amazing.
We're unstoppable. And then, and together too. So like building my Instagram community, and I'm sure for you too, like having that support and connecting with others because we are stronger together. But I feel like we're right on the same wavelength because literally the first, this is the back cover of my book. It says, in today's society fueled by the mass media and beauty industry, it can be challenging to remember our inherent worth and loving ourselves becomes a revolutionary act, which is what you just said.
So yeah.
We're like,
that's
okay,
what
we're,
I mean, but I feel like down. we're on the same wavelength about how we believe, or just, I guess our thoughts about self-love and the power of this.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And that's, I talk about the beauty myth in the book too, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with. It's Naomi Wolf's book. And it was something I read in my undergraduate in college. And it has to do with how images of beauty are used to oppress women. So you're really getting into, hey, yeah, let's just break down the patriarchy and capitalism, all these things that are hurting women, rather than, you know, we can do something so different. And if we are empowered and we love ourselves, it's going to make the planet better. It's going to make things better for everyone.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh. If all women were empowered on this planet and we'd become so powerful together in a beautiful way, like not in a scary, yes, scary way, right?
No.
Like we've like seen when men become powerful, but like if you imagine women becoming powerful together, it's like nurturing, loving energy into this world.
Yes. And recognizing we don't have to be in competition with each other. I think I did a lot. That was probably one of the worst things for my self-worth growing up is being in comparison with other people, yep, like going on social, yep, media or thinking, oh, well, this person is better at this, or they did this, or whatever it, yeah, might be. And then you recognize that I have something special. You have something. We all have something special. We're like, there's a kind of an analogy, like we're like flowers in a garden. Some women and some people are like tulips or gardenias or, you know, yeah, hydrangeas, but that we shouldn't be trying to be like other people. We need to be focusing on our own journey. And that's part of the self-love, yeah, journey is you're not doing the comparison game anymore, that you're just on you.
That one's huge too. Because I know all women deal with comparison. I think we're just raised, whether your like parents are comparing you to like someone else, whether it's academically or even like your looks, we feel like we're constantly being compared and then we end up comparing ourselves with everyone. So, I mean, what is your advice for people on how to stop comparing? Because that's, I know that's very common.
Well, and it's really divisive. I've seen too, like how in my life, like how jealousy and those things in the competition and the sense of lack, the scarcity, that there really is enough for everyone. But it can ruin relationships and friendships and all of these things. So the big thing for me, it was like with social media, like I stopped following accounts that made me feel bad. I focus more on ones that were in line with what I was focusing on, like mental health, self-love, empowering, mm-hmm, not just like, okay, I'm in a bikini, like, and that's fine, you know, once in a while. But I feel like if that's all you're posting is just like the, you know, like I have this like highlight reel and you're not sharing anything actually real, it's hard to connect and you're comparing your life to something that's not really real anyway. So following accounts that were uplifting and supportive, not comparing myself. I still think sometimes it will sneak in because, like you said, it's just such a part of our kind of our programming. But now I'm like, okay, if I see someone, I'm like, that's great that they have these things. And that just shows me that that's possible. That doesn't mean that I need to be comparing or feeling bad about myself. Or also recognizing, okay, I don't know that person's journey. So that might seem perfect, but we don't really know like what's underneath the surface. And I don't want to change who I am to be this person. I recognize that there's certain things that, you know, I've learned on my journey, and we all have learned that you don't want to have taken from you to be someone else.
Yeah. I think if you just pour the energy and love back to yourself into like being grateful for who you are and what you have, like that will make you feel so much better than like giving your power away. Cause when you're comparing yourself to someone else, you're putting them on a pedestal above you and giving them that power. When the truth is like everyone's struggling with their own thing. Everyone has strengths, weaknesses, right? We all have something good going for us and then areas where we're struggling. So it's, like you really can't compare one person to another if you know the like full picture. So it's recognizing that.
You don't know. And with Instagram and with social media, a lot of times you're just seeing the best and not the worst. And I feel like I really do. I like the vulnerability. I connect more to that. And I appreciate like the work you do and others that are trying to bring that awareness that, hey, you know, like life's not perfect, but it's more about what we make of it, not about that we're acting like everything's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. So tell me how, for you, how has self-love led you down like a more spiritual path? And how do you believe it's all connected?
Well, for me, they both go hand in hand. And that's what I talk about in the book too, because I feel like if you're that kind of a person that you're giving love to everybody and you're doing your best, like, you know, we all make mistakes, but then that's going to make you love yourself more because you're nicer to be around and you're going to attract also people that are on kind of your same energy and frequency and just, you're going to be guided. Whether you call it God or the universe, for me, it's just been kind of like following those little breadcrumbs, like, okay, here's a book or here's a podcast or, you know, just being open and being receptive that really everything you need is there, but it's just understanding that you need to be open to it. And a lot of the times I think we're so focused on our own problems. It's like, oh, like, and I've done that before, like, oh, poor me, like my life's so hard, but other people are going through it too. So you connect with the common humanity and you see like, okay, I'm not the only one who's struggling with this. And how can I maybe use what I've been through to help someone else? And that gives our lives meaning. And we all have, I feel like we all have something to contribute to humanity and to others, that we're here for a reason. We have a purpose, and it's recognizing how we can use what we've been given in service to others, because then it comes back like tenfold. Yep. This has been my experience. And, like if I donate, it always, the money comes back. Everything flows.
Yeah.
What we give,
that's
we
such
get
a
back.
Good lesson. Like, and I love that reminder that like everything that you're going through and learning, even if it's like hard in the moment, like that it will be used in some way in the future. Like it will be some way you can give back or help someone else going through the same thing. Like it's not for no reason, right? Like everything has a purpose. That's what I believe.
I believe that too. I love that we both are on the same wavelength about that, because it's hard, especially I think we're taught, okay, if we do good things will happen. Which to a certain extent it can be true if we're putting out good energy, we're more likely to attract good energy. But at the same time, life happens. We go through trials and tribulations and struggles. And I believe that's for our character development and spiritual growth. That brings us closer not only to ourselves, but our creator, you know, whichever name you want to use. But it's hard because we feel like, am I being punished? Something bad is happening to me. And it's really not that. It's for your growth. And this is going to make you into the person that you want to be. And lead you to the life that you want. Mm-hmm. But it can be hard when you're in it. You're just like, okay,
I know.
Is this going to end?
I like to think of my life as like a movie though. It's kind of like, you know, the character's journey is like more interesting because of the highs and lows and the unexpected things that happen, right? Like if life was perfect all the time, it would be boring because then we would take it for granted. Right? That would be our new baseline. And they would be like, you know, we wouldn't appreciate it.
I have like main character tips and main character energy in my book, because that's so important, because that was part of, we were talking about, you're like, how do I rewrite those stories is you see yourself as the main character. How did these experiences shape me into the person I am? How did they help me grow? And maybe, you know, like they gave you certain like spiritual qualities like compassion, empathy, humanity, kindness, generosity. And you wouldn't have had those if everything was just like, oh, la-di-da, like you're not being tested.
If everything was perfect, like imagine how, cocky is not the right word, but I just imagine you like, sometimes life has to humble you, right? For you to like not take things for granted. It really is.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
It's the humility. Yeah. And I feel like that makes people more attractive than if they're like, oh, everything, you know, like I'm so perfect, rather than the humanness.
Exactly.
That's what makes us real.
Okay. So how would you describe the change that happens when you live from a place of true self-love? Like maybe you can take your own story or maybe your client's story as an example, but like, you know, life before self-love and then what changes, what's different after you're able to live with like true radical self-love?
The first thing that came to my mind is life is working for me rather than against me. Because I think when you're lacking self-love, you're looking for your limitations. You're looking for things not going right. And what can I change? And kind of that scarcity mindset and the fear, and really just a fixed mindset rather than a growth mindset. Because self-love is always like about, I'm growing, I'm learning, I'm making mistakes, but I'm getting there. I'm making progress. And that change is okay. Mm-hmm. So developing that kind of a mindset and recognizing that things are working for you, even when it seems like, oh gosh, this really is a bummer. This really sucks. Like there's like we were saying, there's a reason for it and that you can't lose what's meant for you. And I think a lot of the times in the past, I was like, oh, I want this relationship, I want this job and this will make me happy. But happiness is an inside job and that you can't worry about like, oh, well, I missed this opportunity or this was supposed to be mine. I truly believe that. I've said that before, like so many times, like in the book, like you can't lose what's meant for you. Like things will work out if they're supposed to. And if they're not, then it's actually for your highest good. It's working out for you.
Yeah.
So trusting that I think gives you a lot of peace rather than looking for something that maybe is not meant for you at that time, but it will be when it's right.
I love that. Like trusting that everything that's meant for you is coming. And if like, because I think some people hold on to what they want because they think that's the best that they can get, right?
Yeah.
Like this could be like a, let's say you're in a relationship and you think that they're like the best you can get. And so you're holding on even if it's not, you know, it's not that great. But it's believing that there's something better for you and believing that you deserve it.
Yes. And that everything that you need is going to come to you. So sometimes we don't always get what we want, but we have everything that we need. And that there are, I saw this on my little tea bag the other day. It said like unexpected blessings are on their way. So I truly believe that for everyone. It's just how receptive you are. That the light is always shining, but so many, like the sun, but we have umbrellas and we're walking around. So just take it. It's like, just remove the barriers, remove the fears and be open to that because that is your birthright, is the abundance and the love and the joy that, you know, the God and the universe, they want us to be happy. And we don't have to be stuck in these old stories. We can let them go and write a new story. And then by writing a new story like you did, then you're helping so many people write their stories. And then it's just a ripple effect of really self-love. And it's an amazing thing.
So Julia, I know sometimes even like you and I, even though you're like on this journey to self-love, there are days or times when you just fall off, right? Like you just kind of like revert sometimes. So what do you do in those times to pick yourself back up?
I think the self-compassion is huge. I talk about this in the book and workbook. I definitely recommend the work of Dr. Kristen Neff. She has a self-compassion book and she talks about the three pillars, which is basically the mindfulness, the self-kindness, and the common humanity. But for me, it's the self-compassion piece because we're always going to have a day where we're struggling or we're not feeling good about ourselves or we're triggered. And triggers are a big, you know, part of that. They're usually just showing us something that needs to be healed. So when they come up, giving yourself the compassion, and it's really hard because I still struggle with that sometimes where I'm like, I need to be hard on myself. Like you need to be doing this, da, 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 da. But the research like time and time and again says, if you're showing yourself compassion, you're going to get farther along. You're going to be more effective. You're going to be more productive. So if I do something that I'm like, oh man, I wish I could have done it differently, then I'm giving myself the compassion rather than berating myself that, you know, I'm still going to have the struggle, but I'm not going to be like letting it continue for as long and creating new struggles by being hard on myself too. So the self-compassion is huge.
Yeah, because criticism is just creating more internal struggle. Like you're making it even worse than just accepting the mistake, right? And moving forward. It's you're turning it into something bigger in your mind. So self-compassion is just being able to like forgive and let go and move on.
Yes. And that part of self-love is, you know, having those days where like you struggle and you make mistakes and that's okay. We're always making mistakes. So releasing the perfectionism, the self-acceptance is that was like my word for this year was like acceptance. I was like, I just want to focus on that because I feel like if I can accept myself, like anything is possible. But if I'm not, then it's going to, like you said, create a lot of barriers to that. Yep. Do you have a word? I'm just curious. Did you have a word for 2024?
Yeah, for me, I wanted 2024 to focus on joy. And that's because last year felt like I struggled through a lot of things and I just wanted to, I don't know, give myself just the gift of like saying yes to travel, saying yes to like concerts and just, I don't know, bring joy into my daily life because, you know, I want to deserve that. It. Yeah.
You do.
Yep. All right. So Julia, we're nearing the end of the podcast. Do you have like a final message that you would like to leave our listeners with today?
Really feel like the big takeaway I hope is that self-love is not selfish or that it's narcissistic or vain or any of that, because there's a lot of those misconceptions out there that it really is about loving yourself so that you can give love to others and remembering that you are inherently worthy, that you basically are sitting on like a mine of gems and you don't realize it. So once you start, and those are like the virtues and those are like the qualities that you have. So once you start to kind of discover those, and that's like the first part of it. Then you recognize that you have so much within you, so much to give, and that you don't have to look outside of yourself anymore. And then that's going to give you your power back. So that really just loving yourself is what will help you love others too.
I love that. Like knowing what you have, you realize you don't need to be anyone else. You don't have to be like anything outside of yourself. Just like cultivate yourself, love yourself, and then naturally, like you're going to give to the world.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Julia. So where can we all find you online?
So on Instagram, I'm at Julia Spiritual Coaching, and that has links to my book. And I have an online coaching program as well as one-on-one. So yeah, it's all right there. That's probably where I spend most of my time on social media.
Nice. Thank you so much, everyone. Make sure you check out Julia. We'll have all the links in the show notes below so you can learn more about her and her work and her books. Yeah, thanks so much, Julia. I so enjoyed our conversation. Like I said, we have the same thoughts, same mindset. Wavelength. So exactly. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's just been an honor and a privilege. And you're just such a beautiful person inside and out. And I know that you've made such an impact on so many people. So just keep shining your light because it's really changing the world.
Thank you so much. You too. That was so sweet.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to The Lavender Lifestyle. If you like the podcast, please show your support by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also subscribe to our podcast YouTube channel at youtube.com/lavender lifestyle. Lastly, follow me on YouTube and Instagram at Lavender for more content on creating your dream life. Sending you so much love. Bye.